www.kpfk.org. If you believe in radio not sponsored by corporations or sponsored by you, the people, please call and make your pledge at 818-985-5735. That is 818-985-5735. Peace and love.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. Be sure and go there and click on my articles, please. Thank you. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and an owner of not one but two Mazdas, an RX-8 and a Miata, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here with you again on KPFK, the car show to talk about cars.
That's what we're here for, and that's why we named it The Car Show. So let's dive right into it. We always start out with calendar events so you know what is going on. Tomorrow, Sunday, this is the cutest event. It's so down home, small town, everything. Just it looks like maybe Walt Disney. You would see this. Walt Disney would have made this, I think. And he wasn't far away from this. Disneyland is not far away from this. That's right. We're talking the 62nd annual Model A Ford Club annual pancake breakfast. Now you're wondering, why are we putting this on a big fancy car show like ours? Well, this was Art Gould's favorite event. Art Gould was the longtime host of the car show. He has passed on to the great garage in the sky and we miss him, but he liked this so much that we're just in his memory. We're reminding you about this, the 62nd annual Model A Ford Club pancake breakfast. The address is 701 South Glassell Street, Orange, California. It's going from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Go there. Get a stack of groats heavy on the 30 weight, as they used to say, 30 weight being the syrup, Michelle.
Yes. This is at the famous Circle in Orange. And there's a whole bunch of great restaurants nearby. If you don't want the pancakes, don't worry. There's all kinds of great stuff. In fact, I ended up by accident having lunch at the filling station right as this show was ending last year. And there is so much cool car stuff going on. It's a huge event. So
the city of Orange is very interesting. There's a bunch of shops there. There's an Army Surplus store in there where you can get all kinds of wacky, crazy stuff right in that area. Not far from the Circle, there's an old record shop. It's worth it. It's like a trip back in time. It's a little Twilight Zone-ish, but it's not bad. And if you can't make it down to the OC, like I always have trouble getting a visa to go there. They find out I'm Irish.
They deny it. Yeah
they deny it. They just stamp denied. I can't get in. So if you are up in LA way on that same morning, the Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee, Sunday, March 23rd from 8 to 10 a.m. Yes, that is the actual Helms Bakery. If you grew up out here, you remember the sound, that distinct whistle that the Helms Bakery guy would have on his truck. When I grew up in the early 60s in Redondo Beach, the guy always came down our street. They had the big, I think it was a GMC panel van. And he would slide out the drawers full of donuts and all kinds of things. That was a different time. So the Helms Bakery itself is being sort of refurbished. And I believe that there's a lot going on down there in terms of, you know, I think you can buy bread there, for instance, but there are restaurants and things. So in addition to that, there is this Helms Bakery Cars and Coffee. And guess who is putting it on? No less a luminary than our friend and colleague, Johnny Lieberman. He's heavily involved in that. He's like the co-host of the events.
All right.
Go down there and say hi to Johnny. Tomorrow, Sunday, March 23rd, 8 to 10 a.m., 3220 Helms Avenue, Los Angeles. So you take the 10 out toward the west side there and you exit at Venice Boulevard and It's just a few blocks down on your left. You can't miss it.
Well, they better have some of those vintage delivery vans or vintage delivery pickup trucks.
You see them around, you know, various collections. There used to be one that parked down at the beach by, it's not Dockweiler, it's the beach on the other side.
El Porto.
No, not that far south, but it was right there, just parked on the street. I would always see it. So they're around. They're not extinct yet. So, anyway, Michelle, what do we have going back? We're swinging back down to your end of the state.
Well,
there.
Southgate is in L.A. County. There's a Southgate Azalea Festival Classic Car Show going on, and they do this annually. It's tomorrow, Sunday, March 23rd, from 10 to 4. This is a car show in conjunction with the City of Southgate's Azalea Festival, right? So you might see a lot of cars decorated with the azaleas and going with that theme. And this is pre-1989 vehicles only, and it's held at the Southgate Park Golf Course. And the association that's putting it on is called the Tweedy Mile Association. They have the Miss Azalea pinup contest happening at the car show, and they have a beer garden. They have some live entertainment like a DJ and music, and then they have a bunch of vendors. If you are interested, you can register, I guess it's not too late, for tomorrow for $20 to enter your car or motorcycle. And admission, yes, they charge admission, $10 for an adult, $5 for kids. They will have classic cars, muscles, lowriders, customs, and antiques. The actual address to go to for the golf course is 9615 Pinehurst Avenue in Southgate. If you want to register, go to tmasg.org.
And what is an azalea?
It's a flower.
What's it look like? Like, it's like the one you'd have on a boutonniere, for instance. It's like a round. They're either white or pink. Am I thinking the right flower?
I think you are.
I think we have some of those growing there.
Yeah, they grow on a bush, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bush that if you water it, it grows better than if you don't learn that the hard way.
And they're very touchy. Like if you touch them, they turn brown right away.
I didn't know that. They come out early, like early spring.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they have this.
My neighbor has them. She has a big white one, and it's covered right now with white azaleas.
And they decorate cars with azaleas? Or you don't know?
They might. I'm just assuming.
Let's assume.
It would be pretty.
Nobody's going to come back and sue us. And if they do, we have our staff attorney. Okay. Back up to the Valley this time.
All right.
Good friends. Autobooks, Aerobooks.
Books.
Saturday, March 29th from 11 to 3 is Corvette Day.
Yeah.
Autobooks, Aerobooks. There's a book coming out by a guy named Mario Bruner. That sounds more like he should be writing about Porsche or Mercedes.
Right. Right.
Or Ferrari or something. He's right there on the border. Some Swiss car.
Mario Bruner.
So his book is a global journey across 70 years of Corvette history through the personal stories of 70 vet owners and the expert photography of Mario Bruner. That said, Autobooks Aerobooks, Saturday, March 29th, 11 to 3, Corvette Day. Autobooks Aerobooks is on Magnolia Boulevard out in the Valley, and I think their website, we'll get that for you in a minute.
It's on Ventura Boulevard, though, right?
Not Ventura Boulevard.
No? Where is it at?
Magnolia Boulevard.
Oh, Magnolia. Okay.
Yeah, just look up Autobooks Aerobooks. You can't miss it. 11 to 3, the guy's going to be there, but it's always fun to go to Autobooks Aerobooks. You see Jay Leno, you see, every time I've gone there, you see somebody who is somehow a luminary in the car world. You know, this guy was the chief engineer of some car. You just strike up conversations. And there's always a lot going on at Autobooks Aerobooks. And Chuck and Tina still own it. And they are always there, too. Always good to see them out at Autobooks Aerobooks. And we have, I think, next month, at the end of next month, the end of April, we have a way early thing that you should start. Pete Lyons is going to be there signing his new book, basically about his life. But we have a lot coming on that, and that's a more than a month away. So we'll get to that one later in subsequent shows. Right now, Michelle, this is your drag racing. Yes. This is your motorsports.
Yay. It's time for the motorsports announcement. The NHRA is back. Yay. They're going to Pomona March 27th through the 30th. So you can start your weekend early. Go out there on the 27th and watch some qualifying at the Pomona Fairplex. And actually, they run at the In-N-Out Burger Pomona Drag Strip. So, got to get
that. We get free hamburgers for pronouncing the, just saying the name, the full
trip. Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope we get credit for not only recognizing the support of motorsports by In-N-Out Burger, which is a California institution, but also for just understanding that they are owners now. So this is the third round of the 2025 season, and they already kicked off in Gainesville at the Gator Nationals. Antron Brown took Top Fuel. Chad Green in Funny Car and Dallas Glenn took the Pro Stock, and Matt Smith took Pro Stock Motorcycle Honors. And then they went on to Phoenix for NHRA Arizona Nationals. So this is the third round. If you would like tickets for that, they're as little as $25 if you want to just get a basic ticket in the stands.
Now, that was my reading of their website. It sounded to me like you could get a grandstand seat for $25. Go to their website, NHRA.com, and see what your take is on it. And what I would do, you know how those grandstands are, right, Michelle? There's a big, huge grandstand. If you get up and sit in the far, like if you're on down on the drag strip looking east at that grandstand, sit in the far left top row, that corner, because if you sit there, you can see all the pits, you can see the staging lanes, and you can see the drag strip. That's where I would sit if I was paying $25.
Yeah, right. And you're close to the finish line.
No, you're close to the start line.
Start line. Okay. Because some people like to sit near the finish.
Let's sit wherever you want. I like, just looking at that seating chart, section pit one is the one. It's like the top corner of that. I don't know.
All right.
NHRA news. We have a little bit of news, right?
Correct. So Toyota, can you believe this? They have 12 championships in NHRA, tons of wins. We're talking 200 and plus are leaving NHRA drag racing after the end of this season. That's kind of surprising.
I don't know why that is. I have not looked into that at all. I don't know why they are leaving. It costs next to nothing to be, I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Compare it just to trying to get a sticker on a NASCAR Cup car. You know, having an NHRA team has got to be a lot less than that. And compared to Formula One, where, remember, what was it, 20 years ago, Toyota tried that.
Well, that's talk about a lot of money. And they're very into the midget racing scene. They have TRD. They have tons of a presence. If you go out to Ventura and watch the midgets, they're all over the pits.
Yeah.
So maybe they're expanding that or something else. And then also in NHRA news, Robert Height is stepping down. He was the president of John Force Racing. So maybe he just decided to retire. So,
yeah, it's a lot of changes going on at NHRA. So, but you can see all the action, right?
And
March 27th to 30th at Pomona Fairplex. Tickets at NHRA.com.
And all your tickets are including a pit pass. So you don't have to buy something separate to go wander around in the pits.
Well, here's an idea. If you're going to go down to the pancake breakfast in the city of Orange, go to that Army surplus place and buy a surplus gas mask so that when they start the Top Fuel Nitro cars in the pits, you can just stand there with your gas mask on going, hey, doesn't hurt me. I've seen guys do that. They bring these gas masks just for that purpose. So, there you go. Round of great hints and tips from the car show. All right, back up, way all the way up the coast and out to the far, far, far end of the valley.
Yeah.
Is this yours or mine?
This is yours.
All right. Malamute Auto Museum, which is a little bit, in my mind, like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It's not open to the public except under special circumstances. And this is a special circumstance. On March 29th, it's a Bring a Trailer gathering at the museum. Mike will be there for the Bring a Trailer event. All events are a big deal because this collection is not open to the public. Michelle thought she saw a Mazda Cosmo in the collection. I remember seeing one last time I was up there, which was a few years ago. So that is March 29th. Bring a trailer gathering. Do we have the hours that one is?
We don't. We tried.
We'll get that for you. There's another event up there May 3rd from 6 to 9 p.m. in the evening. It's called Night at the Car Museum. So you have two opportunities to actually get into the Malamute Auto Museum and look around. It's a fascinating collection. Mike Malamute likes small cars. There are Messerschmitts, there are Isettas, there are lots of little French and Italian cars, a lot of little Japanese cars. Mike was a car dealer, and I believe at his peak he had 150 car dealerships, which he subsequently sold and now is tending to this museum. So all his energy is going into that, and it is now open to you on two dates, March 29th for the Bring a Trailer event, and then on May 3rd. So check them out. There's the museum's website is not all that informative, and apparently neither are we, but we're going to get you the hours for that Bring a Trailer gathering at the museum.
It's going to be in the daytime.
It's in the morning, but we'll get you those exact hours here in just a minute. The Malamute Auto Museum has a Facebook page or a website, and the website is malamuteautomuseumfoundation.org. Good luck with that. Now, back to the Peterson.
Yeah. Speaking of things in the morning, don't you love donuts and free coffee? Yes, you do.
Diabetes, it's worth it. Sure, you lose a leg, but you got a chocolate glaze.
Right. And you loved it.
And we liked it.
And guess what? There's a car company called Donut Media. Did you know that?
Yeah, they have very funny videos.
Mm-hmm.
I think we pay like the rights for the little blurbs that they use on their videos, but it's very well edited, very entertaining, Donut Media. Yeah.
Well, they had a very successful donut cruise in last year at the Peterson Museum on Wilshire and Fairfax. I'm going to get that right. Oh, I had to breathe for that one.
That's okay. So
this is their second annual donut cruise in, and it's going to be on Sunday, March 30th. From 9 to noon. That's a nice long window of time to hang out. It's free. You get your free coffee. You get your donuts. If you're going to show your car, now you should probably understand about what Donut Media is all about if you really want to show your car. Like, don't just show up with, you know, a blue Miata.
Because you have one.
Yes. In other words, I wouldn't do this. I would figure it out first. Like, look at some of their videos and see what kind of stuff would be interesting to that community and then, you know, sign up. But this is, according to the press release from the Peterson, this is their biggest cruise-in of the year. And so they're expecting a big crowd. If you would like to register, go to the peterson.org website, and they do have an events page for Donut Media Cruise-In 2025, and that's where you register. Otherwise, just show up and check out all the donut build rides and donut merch.
Donut merch. And I assume there are going to be actual donuts there, or do we know?
Yes, that's what it said in their press release.
All right. Yay. All right. And I have an update for you, the Bring a Trailer Day at the Malamute Auto Museum, March 29th, takes place. Drum roll, please. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
There it is.
It is one of those morning events. And again, well worth going there. No question about that.
Up there in Simi Valley or?
Conejo Valley.
Conejo Valley.
Address.
Conejo Valley is up there near like Westlake Village, What else? Oh, Calabasas.
Yeah. Malamute Auto Museum is located 1121 Lawrence Drive, Thousand Oaks, California, 91320. So 1121 Lawrence Drive. And then there's parking. They have a little map there. If you go, the best site to go see is bringatrailer.com. And you have to click through a few things, and then there'll be a map and some other things. So there we go.
All right. You are up to speed now on the Malamute events, the Peterson. Oh, wait, we have one more.
One more Peterson.
One more
motorcycles and Grand Prix cars at the Peterson. A new crop of motorcycles have filled the usual moto display space on the second floor hallway. And these are all, from what I could gather and all the pictures that I have, and there will be an article in Auto Week, maybe soon, about this, a new display of motorcycles from the Bunch family exhibit. So about 100-year-old bikes. Display will showcase over 25 rare motorbikes from the world-renowned Bunch family collection, highlighting the contributions of American motorcycling pioneers. So they have these really cool, inline four, longitudinally mounted inline four. They have an old Harley with a leather belt drive. There's just all kinds of really neat motorcycles there. So next time you go to the Peterson for Donut Media Day or any of the other cool things that they have up there, pay the money, go in there and check it out. It's for a good cause. It's a 501c3. You can write it off.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's the same Bunch family that built a bunch of buildings at UCLA.
B-U-N-C-H-E, I think.
Yes, that's what caught my eye.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay. And then, shall we go? Yeah, two more. This is a little bit longer on the calendar, but these are interesting events. Hot Rods and Helos. Michelle, that's you.
This is another Orange County event. March 29th and 30th at Huntington Beach. And this is a free event. There's over 300 cars already signed up. There's going to be 15 helicopters. Grand Marshal is Chip Foose, who, if you haven't been living under a rock, you should know who he is in the car world. On Saturday, the March 29th lineup of events includes the helicopters coming in for a landing right there on the beach. And then Hot Rods are coming in for their landing on Sunday, the 30th. Okay. And it's in the morning. But I don't have the times because they didn't list it on their Instagram page, which is Hot Rods N, like in Nancy, Helos, H-E-L-O-S. So just go to Instagram and put Hot Rods and Helos in the search.
Okay, and again, we'll do our semi-regular admonition. If you have an event and you have a flyer or a post or anything, tell us who, what, when, where, please.
Please.
Almost nobody does that. You have to do all this research on every single one of these. Okay, the last one, our buddies at the Alpha Club Car Show will also be at the Peterson Museum March 29th. Party at the Pete, it's called. The Alpha Club has a bunch of really cool alphas. Everybody loves Alfa Romeos, right? So,
ciao.
Yeah. 9 a.m. March 29th. If you can't make it out to the other stuff that's happening March 29th, stuff is happening all over. Okay. We are out of time on the calendar. We'll keep you up to date about more stuff on Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, April 11th to 13th. All that stuff we will let you know about in subsequent car shows, So anyway, okay, into the news section. And we're going to start out with, what do you want to start out with, Michelle? The used EV prices?
Yeah, don't you think people should know that it is a great time? If you want to get into EVs and you want to get a used one, do it. Because the prices have tanked.
Yeah, according to an IC Car study, battery electric vehicles are facing a more aggressive depreciation curve than hybrids or traditional ICE vehicles. Leading the charge is the Porsche Taycan,
which
reportedly dropped 26.5% year over year. This study came out, I think, about a week or two ago. IC Cars, of course, examines every transaction in the United States to come up with their data. So, you know that this is accurate stuff. We're going to have Carl come on to discuss this in depth, our buddy Carl Brower, but he is previously committed and could not be here. So, Carl, we miss you. All's forgiven. Come back. The IC car study reports that the average used car price for 1 to 5 year old gasoline burning vehicles is down 0.5%, while battery electric vehicles on average dropped 15.1%. So if you're looking for a used car bargain, your best bet might be battery electric. According to the study by price tracker IC Cars, which analyzed the prices of 1 to 5 year old vehicles, BEVs, as they're called, are steadily outpacing their gasoline-burning alternatives in affordability. That means you can buy them because the prices are dropping. This probably isn't for those who follow the market or are constantly cruising Facebook Marketplace in search of a good deal. However, you might not be aware of exactly how much of a difference there is between your average BEV and its internal combustion counterpart when it comes to buying used. Now, we have a list. They published a list here of which cars plummeted the most and the percentage difference year over year. The top model was, I bet this will be obvious to anybody, the not top model, the top brand as far as plummeting price was Tesla. The average price in February of 2025 for a used Tesla, $31,733. That's a $5,000 drop compared to the same time 1 year ago. Now, the second biggest drop, not a huge surprise there, Maserati. Have you driven any of the Maserati Folgores,
Michelle? I know.
I have. I liked it. It was really fun. I drove it in Italy about a year ago. Now, the average price for one of those, $43,992, also a $5,000 drop, but percentage-wise dropped about 10%. Chryslers are dropping about 7.6%. Chevrolet, Genesis, Buick, Porsche, Dodge, Mitsubishi, and Audi in that order as far as dropping. Carl couldn't make it in here, but we can read a quote from Carl.
Oh, that would be great. And then I can editorialize on which one of those I would pick.
All right. Carl says it's not easy to find a great deal in today's used car market, but if an electric vehicle can serve your personal transportation needs, most used models have dropped substantially in cost over the past year, especially compared to gas and hybrid models. Well, Carl, that is exactly what we just read. Paragraph up there. But thank you, Carl.
For being Captain Obvious. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's a good time to buy. Good time to buy used electric. I would say if you could stand having a Tesla, man, now's the time to get a used Model 3 or something.
Absolutely. But as far as looks, man, those Porsche Taycans are good looking. I would pick one of those.
They are nice. I got to drive one at the Porsche Experience Center, lap after lap. Well, no, that's not the sound of me.
No.
Click. Yeah, not the same sound, but we went really fast.
Yeah, I bet.
It's fun to drive. So if you've been waiting to add the Taycan to your stable, now I say Taycan, you say Taycan.
Taycan.
You're very American. You represent the American listener. So we thank you. We salute.
I like them Taycans.
Get me one of them Taycans. Firming my beer can so I can drive my Taycan.
Yeah.
All right. And if everybody drove electric, there wouldn't be any pollution, which segues us nicely
into
our next topic. The most polluted countries in the world and the most polluted U.S. cities in the world. What do you want to do first, the countries or the cities, Michelle?
Well, let's start with the countries.
All right. Countries, unfortunately, it seems like the poorest countries are the ones that are suffering the most in terms of air pollution. This comes from a study from a Swiss technology company called IQ Air. And the way they describe themselves, they empower individuals, organizations, and governments to improve air quality through information, collaboration, and intervention. So, bravo.
In other words, buy their products?
No, I don't think they have any products.
They don't? They don't have like indoor air purifiers or something?
It's not apparently, according to what I was able to read. Okay. They released their 7th annual World Air Quality Report, highlighting alarming trends. Now, people say, and we are with
alarmist
disincentivization of electric cars. We need electric cars now more than ever, in my opinion, as the, as the world changes, as our government changes, as what we used to think we were going to go for electric cars. And we're, you know, it's the demand is tapering off. We're at about maybe 10% of the market.
Now we're kind of in reverse.
Yeah, we're going backwards. So the 7th annual World Air Quality Report, for countries and regions, for this year's data, they looked at 40,000 air quality monitoring stations across almost 9,000 locations in 138 countries, territories, and regions. That's how they came up with this the data, and what they're measuring is PM concentration, or the amount of particulate matter present in the air, measured in micrograms per cubic meter. Now that's a lot more detail than you
need
to know.
That's tiny. It's just very tiny.
The worst country was a Chad with 91.8 grams per cubic meter, more than 18 times higher than the World Health Organization says is necessary. The World Health Organization says 2.5 is what you're looking at, and poor Chad had 91. Mm. Bangladesh is second. Pakistan after that. Democratic Republic of Congo. It's just, I mean, obviously very poor countries that cannot afford to have electric cars, cannot, you know, there's a lot that we can do that poorer countries cannot do.
And right. Should they do a lot of burning?
Should be doing it. Shouldn't be, you know, handing over, you know, going backwards, as you said, Michelle. We should not do that. But even here in the United States, they measured the most polluted city. And guess what it was, Michelle?
Oh, gee. Can it be Los Angeles?
We're number one. Los Angeles, California was the largest, the most polluted U.S., major U.S. city. Ontario, California was the most polluted, smaller city. So Seattle, Washington was the cleanest major city in the U.S.
I believe it.
Yeah. So anyway,
there's skies up there. But yeah, this underlies why California's always been the leader in trying to protect the air and reduce emissions from not only just industrial pollution, but also from vehicles. And I wonder in the countries if they even have a lot of vehicles or if it's just from fire and trying to, maintain their harvesting and what they're doing as far as an undeveloped country isn't going to have a lot of cars on the ground, but they do other things to cause this particulate in the air.
Well, yeah, the number five worst country was India. And I thought that India was a little bit farther along.
With the EVs, I thought so too.
Yes, I guess not. But air pollution. Remember, Michelle and I both grew up in the South Bay of Los Angeles. So with the fresh air coming in off the ocean, we both still remember air pollution when you would breathe in and your lungs would hurt, right?
Yeah, that when they had the high ozone days, your lungs would be painful to breathe in. And if you look at old photos, like I don't know if you're on Vintage LA on Facebook, but Vintage LA often posts old things like this, and they'll show, look, the skies were really smoggy before we, in the 70s, when we started to, you know, kick into high gear efforts to clean up the skies in California. Yep. It was bad.
Yep. And the EPA came along. Who founded the EPA? Who was the guy behind that? Trivia question here.
Who was it?
Richard Nixon.
Yes. Tricky Dick.
Richard Nixon, a Republican. founded right. the EPA
in 72, right?
Now it's the Republicans who
are gutting it. Yeah.
Destroying it. Okay. You want to hear? Okay. Number two most polluted major U.S. city, Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
Three, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Houston, Chicago.
Chicago.
Columbus, El Paso, and Philadelphia. The cleanest is Seattle, Washington.
Well, I got to say, I've been there a lot, and yeah, I don't see smog ever.
And the cleanest countries, I think Iceland was number one on that. You know, they're out in the middle of the ocean. So, you know, they kind of have I don't know. So, anyway, next one, we ready? We moving on?
Yes, we are.
Okay. The from pollution to safety. Okay. IIHS. What does that stand for? I'm looking that up. I have that. Oh, here it is. Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. It's this organization. A bunch of insurance companies got together to found this organization. And, you know, the result is safer cars, but it's also they don't want to pay out as many premiums. So if fewer people are getting in accidents or injured in accidents, that's good for them. It's good for us. It's good for everybody, maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
well, the payoff is they do a lot of studies. They have pencil pushers like you wouldn't believe. And it helps the consumer decide, do you want to buy a vehicle? Because they test through crashes to see how crashworthy the vehicles are. And that's how they determine if they're a safety pick or a top safety pick plus. Interesting for this year, for 2025, is they decided to make it a little harder to qualify as a top safety pick because for the first time they tested for backseat passenger safety, which they hadn't done before. So they wanted to see how strong is your protection for backseat passengers in a crash. I'm trying to think what the speed limit is, but they just crash into a wall, basically, with the vehicle.
That's disconcerting to watch. So we watched one of those at Honda in Japan. And you're like, as the car is going up, something in your head is going, no, stop on the brake. Wham. All the airbags fill off, everything crumples. Yeah.
So you've seen the dummies in the front seat, right? Well, to test how they are doing in the back seat, they put a second dummy. And they put that dummy right behind the driver. And that dummy is the size of an average 12-year-old kid. Okay? And that's also to simulate the size of sort of a petite female. So they wanted to make sure not only the front seat was, you know, what happens in the front seat, but what also happens in the back. And, you know, overall, their findings were that it's actually safer to be in the driver's seat. It's kind of scary. So, yeah.
Even if you're belted, it's still safer in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. Maybe there are more airbags up there.
More airbags. Exactly. Wow. There you go. Now, it's surprise, surprise. Take note. Very few small cars made this list. Very few. A lot of SUVs made the list, right? And of all sizes, the small ones, the medium sized ones, and the large ones. They also found only a few pickup trucks. How's that?
Pickup trucks are, some of them are, the bigger ones are body on frame, which has different crash dynamics, right?
Correct. So you're really safe that one of their picks was the Toyota Tundra. And also the Rivian, which we talked about last week, the Rivian R1T also qualified. Those are the only two large pickups that qualified.
Wow.
Right.
And there's a list. So there are 48 cars made the list, and that's a top safety pick plus or top safety pick. So there are two settings based on the damages incurred to the to the driver.
Correct. Yeah. And this year, that's actually almost half the number of vehicles.
Yeah, you're breaking up there.
The Michelle, list last
there, you're back. Yeah, you broke up just for a second.
Increased testing. So,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to say that that there were a lot more cars on the list last year, and that these 48 that are on the list this year represents about half of what they normally get on their list because of increased testing.
Yeah, it's 48 this year. It was 71 last year. But that's not necessarily because cars are less safe. It's just that they're measuring more stuff. So, and there's a complete list at AutoWeek.com. If you Google AutoWeek IIHS safety pick or something, it'll show up. And you can see the complete list there. A lot of Hondas and Acuras on that list. But I don't know that Honda is the number is the most common one there. But
actually, you'll see a lot of Mazdas. I've always told you this, the entire Mazda lineup is a very good IIHS safety pick year after year.
Okay. I'm looking at the list here. We've got a Mazda CX-50, CX-70, CX-70 Hybrid, CX-90, CX-9, PHEV. Yeah, that's
and
a lot of
Mazdas.
And don't
forget, and they're all hatchbacks. Their Mazda 3 hatchback and their Mazda 3 sedan also are on the list.
All right. And you got a Honda Civic hatchback, Mazda 3 hatchback. Yeah, Mazda 3 sedan, as you said, Honda Accord. Yeah, there's just, it's very interesting to look at this list. Of course, this is this what you would call passive safety, right?
Yeah.
As they get better and better, I think one of the things that they measured this year was the ability to identify a pedestrian crossing the street. So they put this little cardboard cutout and pull it in front of the car, and they see if it can identify that and slam on the brakes by itself.
Right.
One thing that I think that they should do is make it a lot harder to get and keep a driver's license. How's that sound? Is that revolutionary?
Oh, would that help safety? You bet.
Yeah. Just like, okay, you go to a bar, bars are open until 2 a.m, and then you get in your car and you drive home. There's things that we just accept. I mean, it's getting better. People are designated drivers and things like that, but there's still a huge number of drunk drivers. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's too many. And P.S., there are some EVs and hybrids on the list, if you're interested. They didn't discriminate as far as what the power plant was.
That's right.
Car.
Yep. Okay. What else do we have? What else do we have? Let's see. We have 8 minutes left. What is that? No. Well, how many minutes do we have left? You're good at math, Michelle.
Well, I can't see the...
42. We're 42 into it.
Oh, my goodness. We only have 6 minutes left.
No.
Wait, no, no.
Is it ends at 58? 16. Listen to both of us. Really good at math.
16 minutes.
Really good at math. So I'll talk a little bit here about the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. It's back again. So if you have a car that you think should be made into a Hot Wheels,
oh, this is
check
fun.
It out here. Because
yeah, I've gone to these.
What?
I've gone to these events. It's really fun.
I've been there too. And the two times that I've been, they were really cool cars. A couple of years ago, a guy had a Pontiac Firebird that he had lowered, and they took the hood off the car all the way. It was white and had sort of a roll bar and a bunch of stuff. It was understated and yet really cool. And so there are really interesting cars. And so what they do is they have competitions all over the world where people bring their cars and it gets voted on. And then they go, you know, if they are the number one car there, then they advance to the next rung of competition. And eventually one of these cars gets turned into its own Hot Wheels. And this year, they're going to have the tour, again, is global. They're going to have stops in the Benelux, which is what, the Netherlands, Belgium,
and Luxembourg,
and Peru and Turkey. The one here in our area will be at Mattel headquarters in El Segundo, California. As we know, Mattel is holed up there, but that's not until October 4th. So that's a long way off. They're going to be traveling the world and the United States. They've partnered with Walmart in the U.S. So these things are being held at Walmart's, Tampa, Florida, Atlanta, Charlotte, Detroit, all Milwaukee, Kansas, Austin, Houston, and even Las Vegas and San Diego. So there will be something there. You can actually, they say the contact that they give for this is walmart.com to find out where things are going on.
Well,
boy, they're in the United Arab Emirates, for goodness sake.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. France, Germany. I wonder what shows up there. Is the custom car scene as big a deal in France and Germany?
Interesting. I think we need to fly over there and find out.
We should.
In June.
In June.
That's when the events are. With France is June 6th, Germany, June 27th. But they don't say the city.
I don't know. If I was going to go to France, I would go to Retromobile. I would go to Chantilly. I don't know that I would go to the equivalent of Walmart, a French Walmart. But
maybe they'll hold it at Versailles. Maybe it's at Versailles.
At Versailles. The Louis Couture. Yes, I have my Bugatti here, and I would like to enter it in a, yes, indeed. But it's a fun thing, and it's going, like I say, all over the world. Culmination of the tour will become more global in nature with three distinct regional finals, Europe, Middle East, Latin America, and the United States. That's four regional finals, I think, but maybe, I don't know. This is what they wrote. At each virtual event, one vehicle will be selected to compete for the global grand finale, where the winner and next Hot Wheels diecast will be immortalized in 1/64th scale. I'd be happy being immortalized in 1/64th scale when I go. Maybe they'll expand to people by that point. What do you think?
That'd be cool.
All right.
You on wheels? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go back to the courts. And our legal advisor, Michelle Spencer, is going to give us an update on that NASCAR lawsuit. What's right. going on, Michelle?
So you may have heard back in October that two of the chartered teams, 23XI and Front Row Motorsports, tried to upend the NASCAR business model by bringing a lawsuit after refusing to sign their charter agreement for 2025, accusing NASCAR of being an antitrust and a monopoly on the motorsports industry. Kind of interesting. And the reason why it's a little confusing is because antitrust law usually is trying to break up, like when AT&T merges with another big communications company, right? That's an antitrust because they control the whole market of cable TV, right? But this is an interesting one because they're not saying that they're colluding with another organization. They're just saying this is a monopoly in and of itself. So it kind of goes against what most people know about antitrust law, but it's filed in federal court in Charlotte, North Carolina, where NASCAR is based. So that's October. And then in December, I reported to you guys that the judge in the case had issued a preliminary injunction, and that would allow these two teams to stay as not only chartered teams, but as entrants in all the races for NASCAR for the year, pending the outcome of the case, so that they wouldn't lose their shirts basically on the season. And as we know, it takes a lot of upfront money to get a race team out there. And so they actually won that round. I mean, NASCAR was on the what do they call it, the tender hooks after that ruling, and they had to allow them to race. So they have been racing.
How are they doing? Do you know?
They're not doing all that great. So
oh, okay.
But they're in the race. Yeah.
All right.
This
is Michael Jordan's. Does he have both teams? Or?
No, he only has. He's a part owner of 23XI.
Okay. All right.
Well, so what's going on now is NASCAR appealed that injunction, and they are saying that they don't think it should have ever been granted in the first place. So the briefing has been going on, and the hearing on the whether to set aside that injunction is May 9th. So it is possible, if they win, that 23XI and Front Row Motorsports would be kicked out of NASCAR for the rest of the season. So
I don't think that that's good for NASCAR. It's not good for racing. It's not good for anything.
Right. It's not.
It's just right. NASCAR wants to keep its iron grip on its monopoly, right? Is that essentially
what it is? It's about money. It's about the forces at NASCAR wanting to keep their revenue stream coming. And also the teams, they want to get into the revenue stream. And the revenue stream for NASCAR is advertising. So what you do is when you sign your charter agreement, you agree to collect a certain percentage of the advertising revenue that goes to NASCAR as part of your deal. And NASCAR's defense, in fact, in their briefing was, well, we gave a raise to all the chartered teams this year. We gave them an increase in their percentage. So they're saying that they're really not aggrieved at all, you know, these teams. So it'll be interesting to see if the May 9th hearing, which is before a different judge, it's at the Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. And it'll be interesting to see if that judge sees it differently and sets aside that temporary restraining order.
Okay. Well, thank you for keeping us up to date on that.
And after that, the only next thing on their calendar is the trial date in December of this year.
Okay. So they've got the whole year. Mm-hmm. The season will be over, obviously.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's the goal of the two motorsports teams, is to stay in until the season ends. And then after that, they don't really care.
Well, they got the following season, 2026.
Then they have to renegotiate. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they sort of won, kind of?
Yeah. Right now, 23XI and Front Row are winning this case.
Who do you think is in the right here?
Oh, boy. I'm not going to answer that question.
All right.
I'm going to do Scarlett O'Hara on that one. I just don't know. I'll think about that tomorrow.
That's all right. All right. We'll move on then to our review section. We only have one car to review this time, but it is a doozy. It is big enough to take on the entire 10 minutes or so that we have left. Last week, I was up in the San Francisco Bay Area driving the Cadillac Escalade IQ. Now, IQ is Cadillac's way of saying, well, IQ is the last two letters of all the Cadillacs now for, you know, the Vistique, the Lyriq.
Yes.
Everything. So they didn't want to do away with the well-known and well-established Escalade nomenclature. So they just call it the Cadillac Escalade IQ. As you know, the Escalade is, I think, the largest object that NASA can measure on public roads. Now, it is just enormous. It is the Cadillac take on the Chevrolet Suburban. It is loaded up with luxury. And in this case, the IQ means that it's all electric. It's not a hybrid. It's nothing else. It's just a huge battery. Wrap your brain around the size of this battery. 205 kilowatt hours. For comparison, my Mitsubishi iMiEV electric car has a 16 kilowatt hour battery. Okay? It is absurdly big. From that battery, you can get 460 miles of range in the extended IQL trim, the longest of any electric SUV. You can recharge over 100 miles of range recharged in just 10 minutes because it has an 800 volt architecture that allows you to do a lot more, a lot quicker. The electric power output of this vehicle, 750 horsepower, 785 pound feet. Yes, because feet is plural. Pound feet of torque. And of course, torque being available just above zero RPM. Now, I had a couple months ago, you may recall, a GMC Hummer EV pickup that I used to haul a motorcycle up to Buttonwillow for a couple of days of track action up there. And I was really impressed with it. It does ride a lot higher. I'm talking about now the GMC EV, Hummer EV, but this shares similar underpinnings, similar drive train configuration. It's just set up more for luxury in this case, but nonetheless, 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds. It can tow 8,000 pounds, which is a fair amount, especially for an electric vehicle. The Escalade IQ itself weighs around 9,000 pounds. They don't have to publish a specific curb weight because it is in its whole different class. It's so big. So they don't have to mess around with that stuff. And the topper on this whole setup, once you get inside, there is a 55-inch infotainment touchscreen that goes a pillar to a pillar across the dashboard. It's just, it is crazy, man. It is just absolutely crazy. All right. Is your mind blown, Michelle?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah.
Totally. All right. Well, here's one more thing that will blow whatever's left of your brain. The sticker price starts at $129,900. That's the starting sticker. You can easily crank that up to $150,640. You know, 150 grand for this. Now, you think maybe from one perspective, you can say, oh, that's absurd, that amount of money. But if you look at the things that people might be considering buying, say, I don't know, there's really nothing that competes with it because the Lincoln Navigator doesn't have an electric powered anything.
Right.
It's a pure electric. The cross shop might include Mercedes EQS SUV, which still itself, now this is an electric SUV, of course, 536 horsepower for up to 134,000 or 135,000 for that EQS. Your favorite, Michelle, the Rivian R1S, it's going to be making over 1,000 horsepower in the coming quad motor configuration. Of course, there are different configurations right now. You can start in an R1S for $75,900 and top out right now at $105,900 for the R1S Tri. That's with three motors in it. And the biggest competitor, I think, would be the Lucid Gravity, which is Lucid's take on a full-size SUV. It's on sale now, and I'm hoping to get into one. I'm going to be driving one. They have a press program coming up in a couple of weeks, so I'll be able to report to you on that. The Lucid Gravity has 828 horsepower and starts at $94,900. So there are competitors out there. They are not as big as this thing. So right. I don't know. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, I think the range is really good. They've got over 400.
We have 1 minute left here.
Yeah, I like the range.
I enjoyed driving it. The range is impressive. You are right. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was quite nice driving it. And if I had one of these, it would be hard to get into my driveway. My driveway was made for a Model T. But I would enjoy it. So it's available now. Go down to your Cadillac dealer. Check
there
it out.
There you go.
We are out of time. We have 30 seconds left here. I think we should definitely say thank you to our buddy in Master Control, Wendell.
Yay, Wendell.
Stick around. Coming up after us is Rhapsody in Black. Jay Dawson is laying down hot licks of vinyl for you to listen to. And he also has a lot of CDs to play.
Sweet.
For Michelle and myself, now I say thank you, and we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
Hi, this is Robbie Krieger from The Doors. KPFK would like to invite you to become a sustainer. I'm a longtime member. What about you? Are you a new listener? Or has your membership lapsed for KPFK? For as little as $5 a month, you can become a sustainer. Our goal is to reach 500 friends before the next fund drive starts in mid-April. Please become a sustainer of KPFK. You can do $5 a month, $10 a month, $20, or whatever you're comfortable with. Just call 818-985-5735. Option 2, or go online, kpfk.org. Click on donate to make your contribution. If we can reach the goal of 500 sustainers before the next fund drive, we'll be able to cut down the number of days in our spring drive. Thank you.
Soy Gregorio Luque y estás escuchando KPFK 90.7 FM en Los Ángeles, 98.7 FM en Santa Bárbara y por el mundo www.kpfk.org.